The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to brother, 'Raga,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. It's quite a challenging passage that we have in front of us today. And if it weren't for God giving us this weather, I would think that Jesus is perhaps trying to thin the herd with what he's saying here. It's very challenging in our day, in our culture and context, to receive these words of Jesus. And I think even to see them not as condemnatory, not as condemnation, but as challenges to grow in the love that he offers us. But let me take some of these things kind of back to front and see if we can make sense of not only what it is Jesus is asking of us today, but how it is he's preparing us for the mission that he's called us to embody. This is going to stick out for us, this marriage and divorce, for many, many reasons. It's going to stick out to us. But here when Jesus talks about divorce, he brackets it with two other movements of the heart that perhaps if we were to hold on to, and if we were to follow him in discernment and discipline, we might find the cure for what ails us. He raises the concern of lust and of lies. Live in the truth. Live in the truth, especially with your spouse and with yourself. What a great difference that would be, or what a great difference that would have made for the many broken families that we encounter. And lust. Jesus is not here saying that we're not going to be attracted to a beautiful person, just in the same way that we're attracted to beautiful things, creations of God that elicit a certain response in us, but that we ought to be concerned with the movement of the heart that fixates on that attraction. And here we see Jesus says it's that fixation on the distortion of that attraction that leads to Gehenna. And what is Gehenna? It's a fiery garbage dump. And if we allow our passions to take over our lives, then that's what Jesus says, right? We're more or less a fiery garbage dump at that point. So we had to be careful to, yes, okay, we can have the experience of attraction, and yet we have to be very careful to not engage it and not allow our emotions to run wild and direct all of our thoughts and actions there, especially in these distortions. Again, he looks at divorce, but he's saying, look, lies and lust, and we ought to be careful to root those out, or to be careful to not allow lies and lust to root themselves in our hearts. Okay, but look, we could say, okay, that's fine. That's someone else's problem. So let's talk about something that's probably our problem, right? Anger. How many of us are not at least sometimes angry? Well, look, I mean, look around you. There's enough to be angry about. What is anger? Anger is our response to a perceived injustice. So we perceive that something's not right and something's not fair, and our response is anger. Okay, that's our natural response. And that's fine. There are a lot of things to be angry about. But to allow anger to erode our relationship with God, right? Because what are we saying? All too often, we're not saying, hey, this is an injustice, I'm going to work, right? So global poverty, I'm going to work to feed the people around me, or any number of things. It's usually the question is, why me? Okay, the injustice we experience is something that's perpetrated against us. And that's where our anger comes from. And if we allow that to sit and simmer, then we're only going to find ourselves, as Jesus said, a smoldering garbage dump. And we don't have to look, I mean, look, we know people, because it's not us, right? But we know people in our lives who are really quite toxic because of, say, anger. We know what that looks like, but we ought to bring that to ourselves, because this is something that it enslaves us, right? Our response here, our allowing anger or allowing injustice or perceived injustice to sit and simmer, really takes over our lives and makes us less human and less able to take up the mission that Jesus is calling us to be part of, to be light and salt. Light. How is it that we can allow God's light to shine through us when we're stuck in this sense of this is not fair? Because to whom do we make that claim? It's God Himself. And how is this overcome but by prayer? By prayer is the exchange, not just of ideas, but of our hearts. And this is where, say, good advice becomes good news. Because so far in what Jesus is saying, we have good advice. Nobody ought to want to be uncontrollably angry. No one ought to want to allow his passions to control him. You become less than human, less than fully free, less than happy. But the answer is not within ourselves. In fact, that's where the problem lies. The answer is in Jesus. It's when we come to Jesus in prayer with our passions all run amok and throw them down at his feet, put ourselves, right? I don't know how to make this more simple, right? And I feel like I'm missing the point all the time, so we can try to talk afterwards if you want to, right? But look, it's prayer. I'll make my prayer, okay? Jesus, I don't know what this is that I'm experiencing. I don't know why I'm experiencing it, but I turn it over to you. Right? Jesus, I can't make sense of the world, and I find that I'm upset with many things, but I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to block your love from flowing through me to the people that I encounter. I need Jesus. I need your heart. I need your heart and not mine. I want your love to fill my heart. These are the prayers. These are the prayers we want to pray, that we can be enlivened by God's love and sent again on his mission. Jesus here is simply calling us to be more fully human. He's simply calling us to enjoy the love and the peace of a life lived with him. He's cranking up the moral commands so that we see we're falling short. But he gives us the strength to meet those demands as well. He gives us the strength, he gives us the grace, he gives us the life and the light and the love that our lives might radiate with God's love out into his world. And we might just not then share God's love and his joy and his peace, but we might bring others to experience the same.